You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, interesting, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. I noticed, Scott, you've lengthened your intro rather than just the tongue out with the rock figures out. You did this other thing I noticed this morning.
It's a tribute to Gene Simmons.
Ah, yeah. Gene Simmons.
Did he pass?
No.
Oh.
He's got a new album out.
Oh. Yeah, a new album out. He's still making records?
Yeah.
He should probably get that up.
Probably not.
People buy Gene Simmons record.
Well, you don't know anything about rock and roll. How would you know? You think Ozzy Osbourne's one of the Beatles?
I'm sure Gene Simmons is washed up. Nobody's buying his records no more.
What are you talking about? They pack arenas all the time. Corey, stick to fantasy football.
No, I'm saying they
stick to fantasy football, Corey.
They pack arenas of other washed up people. You feel what I'm saying?
They're not washed up, Corey. They're not washed up.
A washed up arena.
Says the guy like, oh, I like Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake's the man.
Justin Timberlake's awesome.
Yeah.
Says a lot of 18-year-old girls.
No. Says a lot of people of all ages. Why do you have to bash other people like?
What?
Why do you have to bash
that's what he's doing. I'm going right back at him.
He's just asking you a simple question.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything about rock and roll, though, so you know, consider the source.
Corey, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. Slowly but surely starting to put it back together. The voice is coming back together, you know, starting to feel a little better, getting closer to the weekend. We got a kickoff tonight. I'm not one of my, you know, the league with the biggest bag on it. I do have to put Joe Mixon in that lineup tonight. I'm not a fan of that, but it is what it is. You just got to keep grinding, baby. You know what I'm saying? We got 13 weeks of regular season fantasy football, Matt.
Joe Mixon's coming out party tonight?
I don't think so.
Do you think so, Matt?
I don't know, but I'm hoping.
Me too.
Yeah, look, it's not an ideal matchup, especially on a short week. But I think the Bengals got to do something. Their offensive line versus Houston's defensive line isn't an ideal matchup.
I will not have Joe Mixon in my lineup tonight. I'm going to go with either James White on Sunday or Theo Riddick on Monday over Joe Mixon here for this week.
I think you can only realistically start two Bengals.
Well, I think
AJ Green and Tyler Eifert.
I knew who you were referring to.
Well, what about Gio?
Well, I think Gio's an interesting conversation. I think we're going to get more into this.
I'm saying, you know, those guys, I start him without thought, pretty much. Gio, yeah, you can make the case, but it's not a slam dunk.
No, it's not a slam dunk. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We got about a minute left before we have to hit the break. And when we come back, we are going to get into this Bengals and Texans game. Of course, they play tonight. First real Thursday night game of the year where they had a four-day rest. I feel like it's a big advantage for the Bengals and the Texans where like they had their Thursday night game earlier in the year rather than later where you're just like exhausted. Now it's like, all right, we just played. Let's get back on the horse. And then we have 10 days off. So that's pretty good. Mini bye.
Well, what I think they should do with Thursday Night Football is wait till the bye week start and give that team that's on the bye.
Yeah,
I like that.
It just makes too much sense. It makes too much sense. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we preview Thursday Night Football between the Cincinnati Bengals and Houston Texans tonight here. We'll do it next. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Road Rushers in the Morning.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Tonight, Thursday Night Football, NFL Network, you got the Bengals, and you got the Houston Texans. the Bengals, Scotty, you said there's only two guys you can start comfortably. That's Tyler Eifert. That's AJ Green. Lock him in your lineup. Forget about it. That means you don't necessarily trust Joe Mixon. You don't necessarily trust Giovanni Bernard. You don't necessarily trust Andy Dalton either. So let's start with Joe Mixon, because that's kind of how the conversation was headed. Now, Joe Mixon, I started him in week number one. I felt comfortable doing it. I wanted to see what we had in him. And what my takeaway was, listen, the dude played 22 snaps. And 22 compared to Gio Bernard's 29 in a game, they were down the entire game. Jeremy Hill, who was what we were really concerned about as a Joe Mixon owner, had 10 snaps total. I walked away feeling pretty good with what I saw. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, I think it's a really, really interesting spot for him.
Yeah, no.
Really interesting spot
for him. I agree with you 100%, and I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I do my fab not by who's the hot name out there. I do my fab by what I need, you know, for roster construction in my team. And I knew I wasn't going to get Cohen. I put a couple of 45, 50% bids in on Cohen. Knew I wasn't going to get him. I dropped down to that 28 to 30% range for Buck Allen. Got beat out of him by in a couple of places. If I would have got Buck Allen in my fab run last night, he'd have been in my lineup over Joe Mixon. Put it like that.
You know what? That's a great point, because in the flex, I got Buck Allen for $29,
yeah,
and I have Joe Mixon. I'm starting
Buck Allen over Joe Mixon. Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
But you know, you watched Dalton last week, and he looked like a rookie. That first interception that he threw, it's like, what are you doing? Like, the safety is right there, and that made him gun shy the next time he got in the red zone, and he's supposed to lob the ball to the receiver, and he got gun shy and he got sacked. Andy Dalton looked like a rookie last week. He's better than that, but this is not a good matchup for Dalton either. It's, you know, you can't bench AJ Green, but you can't be expecting a ton of upside tonight either.
Yeah, no, I think AJ Green could still get it done. I think Dalton's going to be better than he was. I mean, the guy put up negative points in the NFFC. He was negative. So, I mean, you really can't get worse than that. So, I don't know. I think it could be better than we expect. You know, maybe the short week, some opportunities do arise, you know, some misplays.
Every time Matt talk about Andy Dalton, you know, putting up negative points last week, I always think, you know, he's taking like a, you know what I'm saying? Fantasy executive, your boy Andy Dalton put up negative points.
No, I know. The other day, though, you just kept going back to Carson Palmer. I had him as like my
QB1.
Or I was telling everybody to start him.
I think it's funny, though.
With Dalton, of course he's got to be better than last week, right? -4. But, you know, we talk about this, Greg, that offensive line against that defensive front, even if they didn't have J.J. Watt, they have so many other playmakers, they are going to crush that pocket.
Well, you're going to have to think they're going to do 1- and 3-step drops, change. Look, if they can't scheme anything better from the film and all that kind of stuff, then this season's lost. Because the offensive line isn't going to dramatically improve, but you have to think that they are going to find ways to be better.
They're
going to
try, but this is a bad matchup.
It's not a good matchup, but Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, as Matt has said, it has to be better. It has to be better for us to get what we need for Andy Dalton to stand in there, and also what we need from Joe Mixon. I mentioned a few moments ago that, yes, Corey's not starting him. I'm not starting him. Scott's not starting him.
Nope.
But I am.
I think you're starting. Oh, because you didn't get Joe.
I didn't get Buck Allen, so he's in my lineup, unfortunately. It is what it is.
No, so here's where I am. I don't think it's necessarily unfortunate, because I believe that given the usage on Sunday, that there's a very legitimate chance Joe Mixon gets a good shot tonight to show what he can do.
I mean, why not? The team looked terrible on Sunday.
Correct. And I understand that Marvin Lewis leans to the veterans, and I understand that Jeremy Hill may get a ceremonial first snap. But I think they may have seen that Joe Mixon, you know, was the better running back on Sunday. Maybe that's too optimistic for Marvin Lewis.
Gio was good, though.
Not as a running back. Gio Bernard was good in his position, in his job. I think Joe Mixon is going to get a legitimate opportunity. Well, I know he's going to get a legitimate opportunity.
I can see that. But if the offensive line can't open any holes, they're going to have to throw to Gio in space.
I understand that. Yeah. But the fact is that I hope, because I'm a Joe Mixon owner. But I also think that given the offensive line woes that everyone at this table is talking about, you can't have Jeremy Hill just run on the line and fall down. You need somebody that's going to be better than that.
His own running room. Yeah.
Correct, is Joe Mixon.
And let's look to last weekend. You know, Jacksonville's offensive line isn't up there with the best of them. Leonard Fournette did get over 100 yards or hit 100 yards.
That's a good point. Running. That's a good point.
So, look, Jeremy Hill, I think they really know Mixon is the better running back over Hill. I've been calling Jeremy Hill fake news for quite a while now. I don't believe in any of that. I agree he'll probably get the ceremonial, you know, start, which that has to come to an end soon, too. And, you know, if you have Mixon, unless you have a superior option, or like Corey said, with that matchup with Buck Allen going against Cleveland, yeah, I'd go that route. But if I had to, I would start him.
Tonight, officially, Deshaun Watson. This comes from Schefter. Deshaun Watson will be the Texans' ninth different starting quarterback tonight since 2014. That is more than the Browns.
That's the Bill O'Brien era, right?
That is the Bill O'Brien era. That is more than the... maybe a year. I'm not sure if that's...
You might have had a year mashup.
Yeah, yeah. That is more than the Browns and the most of the NFL and the most in the NFL during that span. Bill O'Brien, quarterback whisperer.
I'm about to say, he's a quarterback guru. He's a damn quarterback guru. He ain't guruing.
How you going to guru Brandon Wheaton?
You got to do that. You got to coach him up. You got Hugh Jackson right now coaching up
Deshaun
Kaiser.
If you're
a
quarterback whisperer, you know, Brandon Wheaton, you're going to go, you suck. I think this comes to an end now, though, with Deshaun Watson. I think it does.
Well, I mean, he's got talent. We know that. Deshaun Watson's got a ton of talent. Raw. Very, very
raw. It's raw. Look, watching more of the film yesterday on Deshaun Watson, and I was talking about Matt with this before the show this morning, that he can make some really good plays and he can make some really bad plays, and they're going to have to live with it. Now last week on that touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins, he did a great job of selling read option and fooling the defense. Then, on his red zone interception, Lamar Miller's completely open in the flat, and the linebacker is sitting back there and saying, well, in the end zone saying, I wish he would throw it to me here, but, you know, I don't think he will. And then he threw it right in the middle of the end zone, right into the heart of the linebacker. And it's like, what are you doing? It's like he had a great first drive, then any bad second drive. He's going to be inconsistent, but he's going to make plays.
I think the Texans don't have a choice here. They have to go with Watson. I don't really think he's ready. If Hopkins in my lineup, I'm really not comfortable with it. So we will see. Look, it's a long season. I think they have to go this route, get him up to speed. Hopefully, you know, by midpoint, they're like 500, and then they can get better from there. Yeah. That's the way I would look at it.
That's the best, and you're right, man. I think that's the best way. They're kind of hoping it right now. Last year, they waited way too long with Brock Osweiler. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This year, it was like after the first half, if you're like, you know what? F this. Get your ass out of here.
No more.
Get on the bench.
Well, the quarterback was worried about losing his job.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now his bag is on the line. You feel what I'm saying?
Now, Matt talks about not being.
His wife texts him. He's like, pull him. He's like, okay, honey.
Now, Matt talked about not feeling confident in Hoskins. Confident in Hopkins. I think you can be more confident with him in there because it's not Savage, it's not Osweiler. Look, this kid is going to throw interceptions, but he's also going to make plays. And when he does, Hopkins is going to be his preferred playmaker. It's obvious. So, look, I'm not saying Matt's doing this, but I just don't look at the quarterback. The quarterback's going to be erratic. But when he makes his good plays, he's going to get Hopkins the ball.
I'd have to go back and look at it, but I believe it was what's his name that was targeting him more, Savage. I'm just worried. It's a rookie quarterback. You know, the Bengals' defense isn't garbage neither. They do have what's his name suspended, so that does help Burkett. So that does help, but. You know, we'll see.
What about my guy, Lamar Miller, here tonight?
Lamar Miller.
They have zero tight ends, the Houston Texans. Literally, not a single one available for them. They are signing a guy off the practice squad to play tight end for them. We know that DeAndre Hopkins is there, and they're going to rely on him. But it's a rookie quarterback, and his first start. It's a short week, and you know how much they normally revolve. That means rookie quarterbacks rely on their tight ends. Corey pointed out yesterday that because of that, because of the situation Houston is in, Tyler Irvin isn't a crazy play tonight if you're desperate, if you're in a monster league. He's not a terrible play tonight. But what about Lamar Miller tonight?
The fact that they're missing the tight ends hurts the blocking, number one, and they're still without Dwayne Brown. They'll run the ball enough to keep the defense honest, but I think there's no upside for Miller tonight because that's a pretty good defensive line in Cincinnati.
I'd like to see if Foreman really gets those carries. That'd
be nice.
That could help open up some holes, help even Lamar Miller.
That can, and yeah, I like that. I like that. I need Foreman to get some work in some of these leagues.
I actually, I'm
worried about some of my backs.
I don't know if the blocking is going to be that. I'm more on the Irvin thing. Get him the ball in space.
I like the Irvin thing. Listen, Dollar Mickey holler all over the place on Tyler Irvin last night. We'll see what happens.
But do it tonight, before tonight, rather, to make sure you get him. When we come back, we return to Scott Angle's lineup ranks. Running Max, coming your way next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
All right, some lineup ranks, Scotty, with the running backs. Now, Corey's going to make sure these are okay.
Hey. I'll check them. Scott, bring me your homework. Let me check it for you. Let me get
okay, hold on. Here's my homework. Scott, 141. Corey, 116 this week.
Before we get into this week's ranks with this, I do want to get to my question that I had.
Please.
For not this week, but just say rest of the season, you're on the clock, Scott. You know, we sort of, who would you rather have rest of the season, DeMarco Murray or Marshawn Lynch?
Good question.
Lynch looked a lot better than I expected the first week, but I think I used to tell Corey this when he was a Cowboy. I absolutely love DeMarco Murray as both a football watcher and a fantasy player. When he's healthy, I think, you know, if the hamstring issue subsides,
but you got to make the call today.
I'm not finished. Marshawn Lynch, as good as he looked, I think he might get banged up. So I'm going to put them on equal injury access. And I'm going to, it's close, but I'm going to go to DeMarco Murray.
Son Scott hated Marshawn Lynch the entire offseason, the entire preseason. He hated Marshawn Lynch. He saw 17 carries and was like, oh, okay, I'm good with him now.
Can I change my mind? As a fantasy expert, I'm allowed to change my mind.
You're allowed to change your mind.
Yeah.
Don't you consider that
the people that follow you, you feel what I'm saying?
When you had Murray number three, like you gave me crap for saying I'm going to draft Julio and Odell because I have them right next to each other and I wanted to diversify. But I mean, you had DeMarco Murray number three for pretty much the whole preseason. And then you bumped him down to like...
Because of the hamstring.
So the hamstring's going to... He's done for the year.
I didn't say he was done for the year. I didn't rank him 40th.
He fell precipitously.
He fell to number 10.
Somebody brought a good point up. It might have been Pianowski on Twitter. It might have been somebody else. I apologize. But every time... You know, Marshall looked great in week one.
Yeah.
It's week one. So-and-so looked great in week one. It's week one. Let's not forget, these are the last 2 years. The San Francisco 49ers were 1-0. They didn't win another game last year.
Yeah, but last year they played the
Look.
Rams.
It's 1 week, then there's watching the game and seeing that Marshawn Lynch is doing the same things that he did in the prime. He's not just a power runner. He jump cuts. He's quick. He makes people miss. He drags people with him.
But you knew this going into the season. You still hated him.
I didn't think I was going to see the kind of form that I saw on Sunday. Okay? From a pure scouting perspective, looking at the film, I am wrong. Okay? I'm wrong.
I don't want to say you're wrong. It's 1 week. I'm not doing this.
I don't care. I'm not playing the 1 week thing.
Right, wait a minute.
I watched the game. Marshawn Lynch looked like Marshawn Lynch.
Now, let me ask you this.
Don Burns, cut that up, please.
Let me ask you this. If Marshawn Lynch comes out...
Don't even try it, Corey. All right, don't even try it.
Cut that up. Don't
even try it.
Marshawn Lynch looked like Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he did.
Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, was telling you in June Marshawn Lynch going to be Marshawn Lynch.
All right, so Corey, you're right 100% of the time?
No, you're not right. Okay. Well,
let me say this. If Marshawn Lynch comes out this week, I know he's facing the Jets. He comes out this week and he looks slow and he sucks. What are you going to see him say next week?
I'm not predicting that.
I know you're not.
I can't see it. How can he look like as good as he did on Sunday, but then suddenly against the Jets not look as good? I'm sorry, Greg. With all due respect, when you look at the film, there is no way I can see that happening.
Oh, I can see it happening very easily.
Okay, look.
Wait a minute. Let me explain my point.
I did not watch extensive highlights. I watched the whole damn game.
You're not even letting me explain myself.
Go ahead.
You said you can't see it. That's fine. Here's how I can. All of a sudden, Marshawn Lynch steps onto the field in Oakland. His back starts hurting. We've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah.
The back starts hurting. He starts the game on the bike. Then he comes in the game, and maybe they get up 100 points, which is very possible. And he goes in there, and you know what? He's not feeling great. He looks a step slower because that back injury, which has been lingering for 20 years with Marshawn Lynch, affects him. And all of a sudden, Marshawn Lynch, the same reasons that you didn't like him and I didn't like him, we together 2 months ago were like, listen, he's not the same dude he was, even though he looked at last week. Hey, I remember this is the reason I didn't like him, because this is what could happen. If that happens Sunday, well, that's a real thing too. We can't all be like, and I'll be like, hey, it was one game, he looked amazing after 2 years off. Now that he had a little wear and tear on him after 1 week, he had 6 days to recover instead of over 500 days to recover. This is a difference.
Okay.
That is how.
Okay. Barring injury, I don't see him not looking like he did last week. And saying he's going to be worn down and banged up after they carefully manage his reps and they didn't even get him into the regular flow of the game, I can't see it happening. Look, if Marshawn Lynch gets injured and he doesn't look like he did last week, that's one thing. What I'm saying is the big reason why I didn't like Lynch is I didn't think that he could display his classic form after a year layoff, after I last saw him in 2015, and he didn't always display his classic form either. That did not look like 2015 Marshawn Lynch on Sunday.
The thing about it is, Scott, this is what you know what I'm saying, and I know you're going to get all upset and stuff like that when I say this, you feel what I'm saying? But I remember having this conversation with you a couple years ago. After Golden Tate left Seattle, you was like, I don't see where Golden Tate is this, and I don't see where Golden Tate is that. And me and Ronis was telling you, Golden Tate gonna be the man. He gonna be 90 catch dude. You know what I'm saying? You like, oh, I don't see it. Golden Tate never been that type of guy. So when a player leaves Seattle, I think you like it's like a girlfriend breaking up. You know what I'm saying?
It has absolutely nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever to do with it.
I'm taking your word for it.
No, you're punching into my credibility as a fantasy analyst.
I'm not punching into credibility.
You're saying that I think... No, what you're saying is, which is complete nonsense, is you think that I didn't like him because he left Seattle. No. He still left Seattle, and I'm saying right now that the guy looks damn good. And this is coming from a guy who I will quote said during the Super Bowl runs, the Seattle Seahawks receivers are, I quote, garbage. And you were talking about Doug Baldwin and Golden Tate. You called them trash. You called them bums.
In 2013, they were not. And I stand corrected.
And
both
were,
of them
you
are
were
top
wrong
wide receivers
both
in the NFL.
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch for the King this week is number 10 in his running back ranks. It's actually lower than Jake Seeley has him.
Yeah, Jake Seeley got him at 4.
Has him at 6.5-point PPR.
Oh, okay. You're going to half-point PPR.
I should look at PPR to be consistent because I'm looking at Scott's PPR ranks as well.
Well, you got to think, obviously, the situation comes into play this week. They should have a Marshawn Lynch-friendly game script.
He's at 9 in PPR.
They should be able to get up on the Jets. They should be able to put the hands on the Jets, whatever. The Jets quit, then they just come back in the second half. You get that crowd out there in Oakland, and you just keep feeding that beast that entire second half. So the game
might be out of hand though by then. They might pull him. But you know what though? Lynch is in the mix because if you're blowing him out, how do you get to that point?
Exactly. And then the game being in Oakland, Matt Modica, I think they're going to make sure he gets in the end zone this week.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's like he's coming home party, he came there. It was impressive to watch what he was doing. All reports was he had a good camp. I only have him in a couple of spots. I wasn't excited when I had to take him. I mean, he fell pretty nicely that final weekend of drafts I was doing. But this matchup is just too good. I mean, it really is. He's going to get fed. The thing I'm looking for this game is, are they going to try and force feed Amari Cooper in the end zone again?
Yeah. I would like that to happen because I got Amari Cooper in some of my big money.
They gave him four targets in the red zone last week. Last year, I forgot who quoted it. Last year, he had just seven targets the entire year inside the 10.
And he didn't catch
it. And the people will say that, okay, yeah, and I get it. It is disappointing that he didn't catch it. So, you know, two of my guys last week, Isaiah Crowell and Amari Cooper. Crowell, it was a dog. You feel what I'm saying? Cooper dropped those passes in the red zone. But what I will say is this. I like the fact that they were getting the opportunities. Crowell got 17 carries last week. You know, and when the game in the second half, when Pittsburgh was starting to, you know, not really separate, but it looked like they had it, he still was getting those carries. So I'm optimistic on that. And Amari Cooper getting those. They were force-feeding him the ball inside the red zone. I'm optimistic on that, even though he didn't make the plays. If your guys don't
he
come
get
through,
a touchdown.
Yeah, he did. He got that. He had that.
That was a great touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. You see the touchdown.
My favorite touchdown of the week.
The touchdown shows what kind of talent Cooper has. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? And you want to see that each and every Sunday as he matures and gets older and becomes a professional athlete. I think you start to see his game become more consistent.
Yeah, it's like they gave him the ball on the jet sweep, Corey, and I was like, that defense, they better tackle him because he could take it to the house on a jet sweep. He's that talented.
I mean, dude is 23 years old. Yeah. It's crazy. You feel what I'm saying?
Amari Cooper needs to catch the ball.
We just talked about how great he was, and then Greg threw water on him.
No, he's 100% right, though. I mean, I was flipping out watching him drop the four
days. I was so angry.
I was excited in one sense. And then,
yeah.
Correct. All right. Ty Montgomery is interesting when we talked about him a little bit earlier on. Scotty, you have him 4 spots lower than consensus. Jakey has him 6 spots higher than consensus. Jake believes that Ty Montgomery, given that he's a pass catching back facing Atlanta, is a top five running back. You have him not as an RB1 this week.
I'm not saying I don't like Montgomery.
I'm just explaining you have him. Not,
I have him at 14. You know, the Packers, the passing game comes first. So. Yeah, I think Montgomery will have a good week. You know, I'm not against him. But I can't rank him like top five over guys who I just know are established top running backs.
What's really interesting to me here, Scotty, is that you have Jordan Howard and Todd Gurley both ahead of Ty Montgomery this week. And yesterday, when I asked you about Jordan Howard, you said the rest of the season, no, it wasn't just this week, you said the rest of the season you preferred Ty Montgomery to Jordan Howard. And
I went the other way.
You went? You go to Montgomery over Howard?
No.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. The other two did. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
You're still in on Howard as an RB1 then for this week at least.
I am. I feel like they still have to, you know, give him a lot of volume and he's their touchdown guy.
Okay. Let's continue on. You have Mike Gillisley 5 spots higher than the consensus at 16, and then Jaquizz Rodgers 6 spots higher than the consensus at 18. You have both of these guys rock solid RB2s, almost in the RB1 range at 16 and 18. You're in on both of these gentlemen.
Yeah, Gillisley, I could more than one touchdown against the Saints, finishing off drives. And Jaquizz Rodgers, Tampa Bay's going to have their way at home. He's going to get in the end zone maybe twice.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to take a look at some other running backs and then get into the wide receivers. I know Matty Modica wanted to get in that with you, Scotty. So let's take a break. We'll come back. A lot of ranks coming your way next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, so the running backs that I do want to highlight before we move on to the wide receivers, just a couple more. Scotty has, you got James White, number 21. We talked about him a little bit earlier. We're all in on James White this week. You got Mark Ingram at 23. Jonathan Stewart, a little bit higher than everybody else. You have him at 24. You have him there, RB2. We said before we like him.
I like Jonathan.
We like him. So nice job by you, Scotty.
Thank you.
LeGarrette Blount, you have him higher than everybody else this week. You have him at 28. What made you like Gary Blount this week?
I think without Eric Berry in that secondary that The Eagles are going to move the ball in the air. He'll have some scoring opportunities. And we saw with Blunt last week, they're going to get him involved. He's not quite done.
That's one. That's a game I'm looking forward to seeing, because I think the Philadelphia Eagles could have a shot to kind of, you know, play that second place role in the NFC East. So they get a shot right here to go to Kansas City and see what they're made of.
So if Philadelphia is going to be second, where are the Giants going to be?
In that third, down there, you know, in that third, fourth area with Washington. They don't have no offense, the Giants. The Giants can't score. They have one player that can score the football.
It's a problem. It's a major problem. You have, Scotty, you have Terrence West significantly lower than most people here. The majority of the fantasy community has Terrence West as an RB2 at RB22. You have a 31. Why don't you like him in the, ring the bell, revenge game against Cleveland?
He's seen Cleveland a few times already, and he hasn't done much against
them. It's not a thing to him no more.
They're laughing at him on defense, revenge game. You know, but he's nothing special, and he's going to share split time with Buck Allen.
So you think, but I mean, you only have him three picks apart, which is nothing, but so you prefer West over Buck Allen? If you had to choose one of the two, who would you start?
I would start West, though, because I can get a better shot of a touchdown. I'm not excited about either guy.
In the PPR, especially in the PPR, I think you got to roll our son out there, Buck Allen, because he's the one that can catch the football. And I think we see that check, baby, from Joe Flacco. You feel what I mean?
I feel like West is the better shot at a touchdown. That's 6 points right there.
He out-touched him last week, though.
I feel like by the goal line, though, he's still going to be the guy.
Did Danny Woodhead finish with the most receptions for the Ravens last week?
He might have. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, I believe he did. Or at least
Todd. Oh, my Lord. Poor Danny Woodhead. I wonder. I hope he's all right.
He'll be fine. He's been through this before.
The wide receivers are up next, and it's interesting. Because, Scott, you had said about an hour ago, you're making survivor picks, and I know you and Corey had a bit of a debate on this, and that's the Dallas Cowboys facing Denver in a very, very tough matchup for them. You said earlier the hardest matchup in Antonio of the Prescott era. You changed that to one of the hardest matchups in the Prescott era. And yet, you have Dak higher than any other expert. You have Ezekiel Elliott as your number one running back this week, and you have Dez Bryant higher than any other expert that I could see. You have as your number 12 overall wide receiver. So you are really all in on the Cowboys going to Denver this week, it sounds like.
Look, it's a very tough matchup. From a pure NFL perspective, we were talking survivor before here, okay? This is what I talk about. Just because, and a lot of fantasy players will do this, should I bench Dez, etc., they will look at the defense and assume that the defense is going to win every matchup. I have Ezekiel Elliott number one because we already know that if you can do one thing against Denver, it's run against them.
Sure.
Dez Bryant is a superstar, okay? We can't assume that he's going to get shut out. You watch the film against Janoris Jenkins. Janoris Jenkins was very, very physical around him. He was grabbing him a lot, playing a lot of physical play against him, and the refs were letting him get away against him, and Dez was getting frustrated. The Denver is going to try to do the same thing, but Dallas is going to come out creatively too. Dez gets frustrated if he doesn't get the ball early and you play him physical. They're going to try to get him the ball early to boost his confidence. And I can't assume that the Denver defense is going to win every matchup. This guy is a respectable, superstar fantasy wide receiver. I can't. I'm not. We always tell people as experts, don't bench your studs. Dez is a stud. I start him when he's there, regardless of the matchup, and I'm not moving away from it.
I'll say this. You have moved him, as I said, 10 spots higher than the consensus. You have a number 12.
Because he's to fantasy wide receiver one. And
I disagree with you. I don't think this week he is that. I don't believe Chris Harris. Exactly. You're facing Chris Harris, and you said that you believe that Dak Prescott and the Cowboys will force the ball to Dez here early.
They'll try to get him involved in the flow early.
So I think they did that last week against Janoris Jenkins, because there's that beef there between Jenkins and Dez Bryant, and there's that little mantra that Janoris Jenkins has Dez Bryant's number. So I think they really worked hard to prove that fallacy. That doesn't exist in Denver, and I don't think we're going to see the same forceful will that we saw last week in throwing at Dez. I think personally, you have Dez a bit high. For instance, Jakey in the PPR, he's got Dez Bryant number 23.
I'm about to say, yeah, Jake had him in the 20s.
That's a big difference.
Jake and I differ. Jake will be more aggressive with his ranks. I believe personally.
Well, you're the aggressive one. I don't believe
I'm being aggressive.
Well, compared to the average fantasy analyst,
you
are.
I don't believe I'm aggressive. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that, no, I think everybody's got them aggressively being lower, actually, is personally the way I'm looking at it. I look at Dez as one of the, when he's healthy, one of the top maybe five or six wide receivers in all of fantasy football
and
the NFL.
History.
People are looking at this. People, well, I wouldn't say that. Maybe Michael Irvin, but not Dez.
No doubt.
But I have to look at this. Like, everybody else will look at it and give the defense the respect. I'm giving the offensive player the respect that he deserves. I believe I will start Dez Bryant confidently in any damn matchup because that's, I believe, how good he is, and I'm not moving off.
So, just out of curiosity, last week versus Jenkins, where did you have Dez Bryant? If you do remember,
I mean, you had him as
a number one.
I don't remember, but he certainly was in the top 12.
I'm sure. I think he was
top 10, actually.
I'm sure. Well, let me see if I can figure this out for you. You have Larry Fitzgerald at number 17. You do not believe he's a wide receiver one this week. That is, again, way below the consensus. The consensus has him at number 10. Just for reference, Jakey has him at number 10 as well. With no David Johnson, we kind of talked a little bit earlier how they could inundate Fitz with targets. Do you believe he's going to be covered? Overly covered?
No, I said that I don't dislike Larry Fitzgerald.
I just like other people better.
Sometimes when you're doing the rankings, it just falls that way. It's not that you dislike the guy.
In the PPR last week, you had Dez Bryant. This is not the right one. It did not reload. I apologize. I tried to get last week's up for you, Scotty, and it just did not work. It didn't load. I apologize.
Well, he answered it significantly.
Okay. So you had last week. It just keeps resetting itself. All right. Continuing the wide receiver discussion, I've noted we actually had a question on Twitter about your lineup, Scott.
Yeah.
Your ranks. You have Cooper Kupp this week at number 32. That's 11 higher than the consensus. They wanted to know why you had Cooper Kupp so high when Jake Seeley has him at 43. That was the question we got on Twitter.
I'm just more of a believer in Kupp than Jake.
So that's one thing.
I'm aggressive with Cooper Kupp because, take a look at the matchup. Like, I think Corey was pointing out before, like, Norman's going to be on Watkins very likely.
Norman's a draw Sammy.
And, I just think, every time that Goff has to Kupp, has to move the chains, whether it's in the flow of the game and they're close or it's playing from behind, it's his money guy.
Cooper Kupp run quarterback-friendly routes.
He does. That's beautiful.
He was hand-picked to be Goff's guy.
Yeah, he runs quarterback-friendly routes.
He knows exactly where to be, if he's quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's mature. He's like 24 years old. I think he's only like he's a day younger or a day older than Sammy Watkins, believe it or not.
That's crazy.
This guy is a technician. He's a technician.
All right, relax.
Corey, do you know what that means?
He runs technically sound routes.
He's fundamentally beautiful. Mm-hmm. He's fundamentally beautiful. There's a scouting term. He's a great...
Now you're telling me.
He's a great technician.
Yeah. He runs quarterback-friendly routes. I like his techniques.
I like for
the
a young
kid.
Guy.
I think your projections from the preseason are a bit over the top, but you know what?
Actually, some people are thinking they might be conservative now.
I'm about to say,
79, 950, and 6?
It's not. Back then, I was like, Scott's getting high. Now I'm like, okay, Scott could possibly be on to something.
I don't get high except for when I go to see Ace Frehley.
Right.
That's it.
I know, Scott.
And I don't use anything unnatural to do that. It's just
Scott,
a natural high.
Yeah, Scott's clean.
Yeah.
The other major, other than Cooper Kupp, here are the other.
Dropped a pill in his cup.
Here are the other wide receivers that you have a little bit higher.
Nicely,
okay, you have Adam Thielen at number 24 after the big performance last week, and you have Devontae Parker, which is interesting, at number 25 overall, six spots higher than consensus. The Charger cornerbacks are very, very good, of course, Jason Verrett and Casey Hayward. Do you believe that Devontae Parker will be able to beat them?
Once or twice, yes. I think Cutler's going to put it up and say, go up and get it, and he'll go up and get it.
Are you in Modica on Devontae Parker this week?
It is kind of a tough matchup, but I do believe Jay Cutler is going to make a point to get him involved. Everything we've seen, we've heard from the preseason, that's his boy.
You putting him in lineups this week?
Yeah,
I got him in lineups this week, too.
Yeah, yep. I always
who would you rather start, Devontae Parker or T.Y. Hilton?
Devontae Parker.
Wow, in unison.
I don't even have T.Y. Hilton in my top 35.
In unison.
I mean, I don't think Jay Cutler's anything great, and at some point, the Miami fan base will hate him as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's Jacoby Brissett versus...
T.Y. Hilton is 47 for Scott, right before Paul Richardson and right after Ted Ginn Jr.
Wow, that's extremely low.
He has him. It's 15 spots lower than the consensus.
He can go 5 for 57.
He doesn't have a quarterback, Corey.
He can go 5 for
57. He doesn't have a quarterback, Corey. It could be Scott Tolzien again.
5 for 57 is 10 points in the PPR. I can't let you do this.
He's got John Brown ahead of him. He's
like got the matchup for Corey
Coleman, John Brown
Kenny Galladay, Corey Davis, all ahead of T.Y.
Wow, that's it.
Kenny Galladay this week to me is just like a home run swing against that Giant defense.
Well, hopefully it does not work out. Matt, you know you had a question about the wide receivers you wanted to ask Scott earlier on in the show.
I forgot if I did. I got my running back question, and that was the one I wanted. But I will say I'm more, I guess, just looking at this, at Scott and the consensus, I'm higher on Chris Hogan than everybody here.
Tyrell Williams, also very high for Scott. Scott's picking a big game for Tyrell against Miami. It's his number 30 overall wide receiver. A very solid, rock-solid wide receiver 3. When we come back, I'll again preview our DFS lineups on RotoWrestlers.com/DKMS. And we'll talk to the all-in king here next on the RotoWrestlers in the Morning. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Remember, you can go to RotoExperts.com/DKMS and participate in a daily fantasy game for a fantastic cause. We are trying to cure blood cancer. We're working with DKMS in order to do so. And listen, all I wanted to know is, all we want you to see is just more information out there. Learn what DKMS is. Learn what bone marrow donation is. Learn all about blood cancer. I feel so much more enlightened now. And listen, you go there, you scroll to the bottom, you make it to the bottom of the page, you get to play in a fantasy game to have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. It's that simple. What you do is you go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, you click the link to fantasy draft, you participate in the game. You win one of the first 16 weeks, you qualify for week 17, you win week 17, you go to the Super Bowl. No strings attached, simple as that. Scotty and I have made our lineups this morning. We feel good about them. The question is if we will win, what we'll do with our tickets? Or when we win, what we'll do with our tickets? Probably we'll keep them and not give them to anybody else.
I guess, you know, maybe if we win Super Bowl tickets, you know, maybe I'll take you, Sus, but maybe we'll go.
That's very nice of you, Scotty. Very nice of you. I don't know if it'll work. I don't want to work.
Think if he wins, he's taking you.
Probably not.
That's okay. It doesn't have to reciprocate.
Appreciate that, Scott. Appreciate that. One person maybe I will bring is my buddy Jake Sealy, the all-in kid. Jakey, what's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, I'd bring you, Greg. Bring back the Sussman and Sealy for the Super Bowl.
Everybody wants to bring me. This is fantastic. I'm loving this, man. Jakey, I do want to ask you, we're going over Scotty's rankings over at RotoExperts.com inside the Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. And we noticed that he had Dez Bryant seemingly higher than anybody else, including yourself. The consensus has Dez Bryant at about 22. I think you may have him at 23 this week in the PPR. Scott has him as a top 12 wide receiver, despite facing Chris Harris and the Broncos. Scotty believes, listen, you start your studs. Dez Bryant is a wide receiver 1. I'm starting him as a wide receiver 1. Jake, I know you have him a lot lower. What do you think of Scott's rankings?
I don't have a problem with it. I thought you were going to go standard because I have him at standard 14 because of the similar to what Scott's. I'm going for the fact they're going to target him in the touch red zone. He had 3 red zone targets last week, didn't catch one. He was the only person with 3 red zone targets last week and didn't have a single catch. So I think that you look for better this week. But I'm going to still downgrade him in PPR just because I think he's somebody that you can see 4 catches for 70 yards and a score. But he's not going to rack up the catches against Chris Harris, as you mentioned, or this defense in general. So I don't mind Scott's rankings. I have him high in standard compared to everybody else. It's seven spots ahead of the consensus. But in PPR, I'm still going to ding him because of the matchup.
One final question for you that I was asked on Twitter. I asked it to Scott, Jake. I want to ask it to you. Is there any specific reason that you have Cooper Kupp 17 spots lower than Scotty does?
The matchup isn't that great this week. People is seemingly forgetting this, and I want to see Jared Goff look better than a terrible quarterback. Let's be honest. He was god-awful terrible last year against a defense that's something that, like, not the Colts. And it's going from the Colts to one of the better secondaries in the league. So I have serious concerns before I'm going to just say, all right, I'm going to put him in every week.
Yeah, right.
There you go. That's Jake Seeley. He's the all-in kid. You can hear him next. Coming up with Matt Modica, Corey Parson on the Fantasy Football Frenzy.
Yeah, as far as Cooper Kupp goes, you know, look, Goff's mechanics look wonky and maybe exposed by a better defense like Washington. But look, if they start getting behind, you know, Kupp can play catch up. He is going to complete some first down passes. It will go to Kupp. So I have a lot of confidence in starting him.
Yeah, I know you do. You'll always have confidence in starting Cooper Kupp. That's for damn sure.
Well, when they play the Seahawks, well, actually, he might be able to burn him in the slot. So.
That's right. It's Randall Cobb last
week. True. Yeah.
Corey, what's coming up next here on the Fantasy Football Frenzy?
We got a TI Thursday right here on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. We're going to get into and dissect and break down some of the all-in kids rankings. Plus, we'll go over some of the FAB results from the Flex PPR last night. Also, we'll hop into some of the stuff going on, practice reports and plays. You might need to keep an eye on and stuff for the remainder of the week. You know, got our DKMS stuff. And we need to get on the telephone, so... You know what I'm saying? We got to get that figured out because that's very important to our program.
844-843-6879. For Matt Modica, Corey Parson, and the King, Scott Angle, my name is Greg Sussman. The Frenzy is coming up next. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.